everyone. Welcome to Story Nerds. I'm Hannah Davis.
And I'm Jessica Kay.
And today we're kind of diverting off from our usual favorites. We're going to be talking a little bit more in the podcast about politics in fiction. So you have kind of a few different examples that we're going to talk about and kind of talk about whether we like it. And Jess is going to give us an Australian perspective on the politics that we see, since most of those politics that we see in film are American politics. Today we are tackling Election Day. It's just a couple days past Election Day when this will air. So Election Day has not happened yet here in America. We're in the midterms. And I thought we were talking a lot about Aaron Sorkin. I'm recently going through The West Wing. I'm sort of just started season 3, so I'm not quite halfway yet.
And I'm up to season 6.
Yeah, and so, but being the Aaron Sorkin fans that we are, Aaron Sorkin has also done The Newsroom, which was very politically based, and he's done a couple others. And so we started talking about Aaron Sorkin and what we love about him, but we decided to like kind of open it up to more politics in fiction. So whether that's movies, TV, or books, there's a lot of differences between America and Australia. I bet you didn't know that. And so, I know, right? One of the more interesting things, when Jess was here a couple weeks ago, she was here in America. Gosh, that's already been like 3-4 weeks. Time's gone by so fast, but I've missed you all the same. While she was here, we had a lot of really interesting discussions, and it kind of opened up my eyes to the fact that, like, there's so much more to American politics than just America. Like, it's funny to see what Australia and all these other countries think about American politics. And so I kind of wanted to get Jess's perspective on American politics, and I think I'm going to let her take it away at first. And she's going to, like, tell you a little bit about Australia and some of the main differences so that as we go through this conversation, you can kind of get some of that cultural background.
Yeah, so my trips to America recently, and actually watching The West Wing and listening to, there's a podcast that goes with it called The West Wing Weekly, which I love, 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 love. And it talks about the show. One of the hosts is an actor from the show. The other guy's just a super fan. But they will talk about the show, and then they will also go into like what the real political situation was at the time. Often a lot of the episodes are based on real things. I was a bit young when it first came out, and also I'm in Australia, so I wouldn't have heard about it anyway. So they sort of give you the real story, and then they tell you what it's like now. So I feel like I've learned a lot, and the show has helped explain the differences between Australia's attitude toward politics and America's attitude toward politics, which can be pretty much summed up as America cares a lot more.
Yeah.
Australians have never had to fight a war of independence or a civil war or anything, and so we are a bit don't care as much because we probably see less potential threat because nothing's ever really gone super wrong for us.
Yeah.
And we're just a bit less interested. We don't like talking about politics very much. We hate politicians as a nation. Like, if you're a politician, then people are just like,
well, I'm pretty sure that that's not entirely different than the nation right now. I feel like there are, what's really funny is that there was a recent poll I read probably 2 years ago, and they asked the American public who has the most like despicable jobs that people don't trust. And the top one was politicians, and the next one was journalists. And I happen to be number 2. So thanks for that. I try to be as trustworthy as possible, people, but I know not everyone lives in this town I cover. So,
America has a lot of shows like that are political commentary shows, and people sort of on there like saying their opinions very, very passionately. Australia might have a couple, but nothing like what America does. And we just don't have the same amount of, I don't know, there's a lot of angry voices on American telly, and there's some on Australian telly, but it's toned a lot more down. And also we are probably as a whole nation further left than America is. There are some like policies that Americans would consider to be left-wing policies that even Australia's right wing has. And part of that is probably because we are not the biggest free country in the world, so we don't have to have the huge military that America has to have. You guys have to spend bucket loads of your money on that, which means you can't spend it on other cool things. Australia doesn't have that responsibility as much. I mean, we have a military. Don't come bomb us. We will bomb you back. We don't have the same responsibility that America has. And so we can afford to spend our money on things like universal healthcare is just an accepted thing that both political sides have. We've, as far as I know, always had it. I don't know, we've had it for a very long time. Stuff like that. I
I've
mean,
heard that
all of
you guys
Australia.
have a longer maternity leave too. Like you're required to have, I think it's a 9 month maternity leave.
Well, where I work, it's a year, but like, I don't
Okay,
know
maybe
if
it's a year.
I don't know which part's government mandated and which part's just the fact that I work for a really good company. So
Okay,
I
yeah.
don't know. But yeah, the women in my company, I'm pretty sure they get a year.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's like what the pay situation is with that, but at least some of it is paid. Might be at a reduced rate, but yeah, there's good maternity leave stuff. Both sides of politics are for gun control in Australia. Like Australia is just pretty much united on that front. So it's interesting to see the discussions on the West Wing and just like in general world conversation when there's a lot of things that I would align with. I'm a conservative person, so I probably identify with some right-wing things in America, but then they'll like be talking about something and I'm like, oh no, on that I like America would consider to me to be very left on some things, but in Australia that's normal.
Yeah, and that's like I said when she was here a while ago, it was really interesting having these discussions, because really just coming from two completely different cultures in that sense, it was enlightening in my part too, which I appreciated. But I want to know, Jess, what did you learn from watching The West Wing in particular that's specific to American politics?
The Bill of Rights. Australia does not have a Bill of Rights, so there were a lot of things like I think at one point they were arguing about school uniforms or something. Australia has school uniforms. Our public schools, like all schools, have uniforms in Australia. And we know America doesn't because we see it in the movies and we don't really care. And they were bringing it back to, they were arguing about whether or not public schools should have uniforms. And they were saying that it was like a matter of free speech and it came back to the Bill of Rights or something. And I was like, you are joking me. Like, Australians do not care about the ideological, like, kids' right to free speech through their clothes? No, just shut up and put on your uniform. Like, that is not a debate that really would get traction here. We don't care that we might be smothering a teeny, teeny bit of their free speech with clothes. They're kids, they have to do what they're told. And it helps balance out the rich and poor, which we like. Australia has a much bigger middle class and a much less of a divide between our rich and poor than America has. So, yeah, we're like, I just couldn't believe that they were arguing the ideological point of that. Aussies just, we're more pragmatists, I think.
I mean, I think most Americans would agree that that's not in the highest of order at this point in time, is discussing free speech over clothing. But for sure that I mean the idea of free speech is certainly a huge one here in America, and so we can talk about different areas of that. But yeah, The West Wing is a really fantastic show if you want to learn about politics and government in general. There's so much in there. I mean, I'm only on season three and they've gone through so much. I think one of the bigger episodes that I remember, they had a whole episode dedicated to talking and learning, essentially in fiction wise, talking about a filibuster. And so
I don't have
I
those.
mean, I had known what a filibuster was. Most recently, I think it was Ted Cruz went before the ACA was enacted, and I remember him like reading like children's books. And
Such a weird loophole.
I know it really is the weirdest loophole in I mean I sort of get why it exists, but it exists in the loophole that like makes no sense in politics. But whatever, not gonna get into that right now. But that, you know, I think the West Wing, Aaron Sorkin really did his homework, because there were a lot of things that in the fundamental part of government, that was he brought up some really great discussions. And that's kind of where I want to lead us next in talking about how politics in fiction can help us. Because I actually, I think I believe that avoiding the political discussions does us no good. You know, you can't just put blinders on and say no more politics ever, because that you're living in a area that cares about its politics here in America and worldwide. I think it's important to know what's happening in the world. So I don't really like it when people tell me just turn off the news. I'm like, well, no, because turning on the news helps inform me to make better decisions and to make those decisions too. But I think that fiction has a really unique ability to bring politics into play, but without the combativeness as straightforward, like I'm on the right and you're on the left and you're from Australia and we're all talking pointedly at each other. One thing that I really love about fiction is its ability to help us empathize with somebody else. And so I kind of wanted to get into that anymore at this point right now. And just wondering if you had any thoughts on that.
I think fiction is a great way to teach people things, especially things that are hard to talk about. And I think it's really good. It's been interesting spending so much time in America in the last couple of years, understanding where people are coming from, because I didn't get the Bill of Rights discussions at first. I was like, why wouldn't you just like let a little bit of that right be chipped away, because it works in practice better for everybody. But now I've like visited more, I've talked to more Americans, I understand more the history of where it comes from, and now it makes more sense to me. It also makes a sense to me the way Australia is, but like I see where the other side is coming from. Mm-hmm. And I know I have a workmate who is he's married to a woman who is German, and so he spent a lot of time in Europe, which has very different systems often to Australia and America. And Australia is very America focused, so we know how we work, we know a bit about how America works, we know a bit about how England works. We don't really know about how anywhere else in Europe or the rest of the country does. And so I would learn a lot from David. We would talk about Australia and America and different things and politics, and he would say, well, this is what Europe does with this thing. And it was like really interesting. And you find out they actually have a lot of the best in the world things. Like I think Finland is the country that has the greatest education system in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I would love to see a show that has like, and I still want a touch point to American culture because that's what we're used to and that's what I like seeing on my screen, but I would love a show where like an American goes to work in a European embassy and it's like a fish out of water show about the politics and learning about the new place and the different approach to life that other countries have, because you don't realize till you go there, like you don't realize that what your own mindset is and like what your worldview is and how it's been impacted by your world and your country, and you just assume everyone thinks that way, and then you go somewhere else and you realize that they have a different approach to something that you thought was fundamental and like humankind wide. And you don't learn those things until you go to another country or see something about another country. And Australia is super America focused, so we really don't get those other influences. So I would love to see a show that shows you about other countries' different approaches and helps you question and learn more about the things that you just accepted.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think here in America, we obviously could probably pinpoint, and I'm sure people would come back and disagree with this, but I'm just going to flat out say it. Hollywood tends to be more left liberal leaning here in America.
Oh, yeah,
I know, and I'm sure that I'm probably going to get somebody that's like, well, that's not true, and I'm whatever. We can argue about it later. Well, we'll see. I'm sure I'll get somebody here now saying that anyway, but whatever, I'm used to it. I'm a journalist. It's my job to take that stuff. I don't know. Jess, is there anything else that you learned or you took away from any of the shows that you want to talk about?
What else have I learned? I know what a chief of staff does in the White House. From the West Wing. I learned that America has to deal with a lot more debt than Australia does,
mm-hmm.
Which probably means that we are more free to do fun things like have free healthcare. We have some debt, but we can get out of it if we really want to.
There's so many different things that you've learned, that I've learned even from watching The West Wing in the newsroom.
What else did I learn? I can't really think if you brought it up, then I could probably be like, oh yeah, the West Wing taught me that.
Yeah.
Oh, I learned about the Rwandan genocide because there was an episode. I can't remember if you would be up to that. They made up a country in the West Wing, and they basically had an equivalent event to the Rwandan genocide.
Yep.
And I went back and was talking to my workmate about it, and he, because I had learned some things on the podcast, they talked about it. They talked about like America's response, and like I think this happened when in like 93 or something. Okay, I was two. I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, it would have been Rwanda genocide. That sounds about right.
Yeah, and then they're talking about how that affected
Mid-90s.
the response to Somalia, and then things that happened in Bosnia. I didn't even know there was a war in Bosnia, so
Yep.
I learned all sorts of stuff about that. And then I was talking to my workmate. He did a history degree, and his like area of speciality is genocides. And so I learned a lot about that. An interesting thing he told me is that the first and I think most effective genocide ever was in Australia. The Aboriginal people in Tasmania have been very much, I mean, almost completely wiped out, and that is a terrible part of our history. And I had no idea. You do not associate the words Australia and genocide, but
No.
that was, and I have done like zero research into this, but I'm just taking his word that he
Yeah.
has a degree into it. And that was his take on things. And so that just opened my mind up to things that maybe I need to research in the future. And I think a good thing, like you learn bits off the West Wing, but then it also is helpful sometimes for like sparking discussions into other things that you don't
Yep.
know about. And
Yep.
he studied like the way the media reported the Rwandan genocide versus the way they reported the Bosnian Civil War, and that there were very different journalist approaches to that, which I know I was telling Hannah at the time, and she found very interesting. And
Yeah. I was like, I would love to like have a good conversation with this guy, which we need to set up.
he's busy running his new restaurant at the moment, but
When he's not busy
we'll
running his amazing new restaurant, I definitely want to talk to him.
it's so good. You have to come to Australia and eat at the restaurant, have your mind blown, and then have it blown again with like all the knowledge truth bombs.
Yes.
But yeah, besides that, I can't really think of heaps else that I have learned. But I do have a story about a Australia doesn't have political shows because nobody would watch them. But there was one on the ABC, which is different. I know America has an ABC. In Australia, it's the Australian Broadcasting Corporation,
Okay.
and it's like it doesn't have ads. I think it gets some kind of government funding or something.
So like a CBC, which would be like Canadian Broadcasting, or our PBS, which is Public Broadcasting System or something
Yeah,
like that.
something like that.
Government sponsored.
It's not a
Yep.
commercial channel.
Yep.
And they had a show that was like, it was based on, at the time, Julia Gillard was our prime minister, and which is like our equivalent of a president. And they had like made a show on everyday life in Parliament House, and it had like, I just have this horrible image burned into my memory of off one of the ads, and it was like her and her partner like laying underneath the Australian flag on her desk in the in Parliament, like obviously having just gotten up to some funny business. And I was like, yuck, don't want to think about it. Why would you put that in a TV show? Gross. That's not how I want to think about the person who's running my country. Like, not on the Prime Minister's desk. Come on, guys. Like, can you put a flag in a washing machine? Like, ugh.
Yep, that's not something I want to see.
I can't imagine that scene having been in the West Wing. I'm just going to say that. The West Wing had a little bit more class.
Yeah, to be fair, I mean, the West Wing was, I think, what, in an NBC, so it for sure wouldn't have that because that would not happen on that channel. Maybe if it were HBO, like, whoa, HBO. But one of the more interesting things, and maybe we'll wrap up here talking about, now I don't watch, I didn't watch Roseanne when it was on it the first time. I didn't watch it when it came back. And then, of course, Roseanne sent out some tweets that weren't as appropriate as they should have been. And the show was canceled. And then it came back. And recently, the first episode of that, the renewed Roseanne, which is called The Conners, just came back and aired their first episode. I want to say it was less than a week ago from the time we're airing this, so probably about a week and a half ago from the time you guys are hearing this. But I also, the same thing, well, not the exact same thing, but something similar happened with Last Man Standing, which was a show on ABC. And ABC? CBS? I think it's ABC.
I don't know who it was on. I know it's on Fox.
I watched it all on Netflix, so I don't remember that. But now it's on Fox. And so both of those shows had a little bit more of a political humor bite to them. They had political discussions. They both had families from different sides of the aisle all coming together and requiring to be a part of the family. And that was something that I just have to say I appreciated the differences of. Like I said, I still haven't watched Roseanne or the new Roseanne, but I have watched Last Man Standing. And I loved Tim Allen in Home Improvement because he was so funny in Home Improvement.
That's the first sitcom I ever remember watching.
Okay.
Like, I was very little. But
side pause. I just have to tell you that when I was 10, I was positive that I was going to marry Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Yes, he was my favorite.
Yep.
Hands down.
And Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen were going to be my bridesmaids. I'm not even kidding. I do have
Did
this planned out.
Did you see his cameo? He's briefly in Last Man Standing.
Yes, he is.
And
it's such
I was
a
like,
funny episode.
Why does that guy look familiar? And Mom's like, he's the second son of Homer Improvement. Like, oh,
yes.
Of course he is.
Which I also have to say that apparently I think he's still single, so my dreams could come true. I just have to meet him and Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. My childhood dreams coming true right here. No, but Last Man Standing, I really appreciated because it was a political show, but because they did it in a way that really made sense for culture today. We all know that our families are not all in agreement, I'm sure. And I love the fact that they tackle that. They tackle the fact that all of our families are not all on the same level. One person might marry.
It's hard to keep the peace.
Yeah, it is. It's really hard to keep the peace. And Tim Allen does a funny job keeping the peace, but also making some jabs at people he disagrees with.
He's the one stirring the pot.
That's
His
fair
wife
point.
Is the one keeping the peace.
Fair point. He does stir the pot quite often. Yeah.
It is funny. I have the advantage in Australia of being able to say, not my country, not my problem, and just enjoy these shows. Like with the West Wing and the Newsroom. I know the Newsroom like struggled because it was about a different way of reporting real events that had happened, and people felt they were criticizing the way the networks had covered it at the time. Now, I both had most of the stories on the Newsroom I had either not heard of or only vaguely heard of.
Oh, I remember most of them.
And I don't really remember, and I saw Australia's coverage anyway, not America's. So I did not care, didn't know the context, and just enjoyed the story for what it was. With pretty much like no, like I feel like a lot of people would, if you were on a particular, like if you were super right wing, you'd probably hate the West Wing because it's about a left wing government. So it would probably be, I don't know, annoying. But for Australia, where, you know, the whole country's further left, so, you know, probably 50% of their stuff, I'm like, yeah, right on. And then the other 50%, I'm like, eh, whatever. Not my country.
not my problem.
So Last Man Standing it probably falls a bit in that category. I do enjoy hearing the two sides. I had thought it was fairly balanced, and then it like got cancelled off one network and got picked up by Fox, and I thought, oh, maybe it wasn't as balanced as I thought. I don't know. But I liked hearing the two different sides because it does sometimes open your mind up to things you're like, oh, I had never thought of the other side of the argument like that. And sometimes that's the opinion Tim Allen is voicing, and sometimes that's the opinion that Ryan is voicing.
Yeah.
It's gone both ways, but it's also funny as crap. I love that joke. When Abby was sick, we don't get a lot of access to it in Australia. It's actually really hard to find here, but when we were on our American holiday, my little sister was sick for a few days, and in the hotel we just watched Last Man Standing. There's a channel that had it on, like, marathon. And so, yeah, we burned through a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It is. I do. I mean, I always appreciate Tim Allen's humor. I feel like that humor, his humor style just always gets me. And, I mean, Home Improvement was so clean. Last Man Standing isn't as clean, but it is almost as funny. And I should say Home Improvement wasn't perfectly clean, but it was a lot about a family just trying to raise their kids and do what do right by them. And but man, I do. Last Man Standing definitely makes me laugh, and I think that's what I love most about it. But the idea of politics in fiction, I know that people talk about, I think that that's a discussion that we should have, is should it be included in fiction? And I think I've just come to the opinion that I definitely think that politics should be included in fiction, because it's a way that we can easily put ourselves and learn new signs of view, like learn new points of view, new world views. Like, it is quite literally to place yourself in another human's story and just be absorbed in it and learn from them.
Yeah, I would say that with a caveat. I only enjoy it if I do hear both sides of the argument. Even
yeah.
if it's an argument where I am completely on one side, I still want to hear the other side's point of view. I once read a book where the author obviously was on the same side as me on an issue, and by the end of the book, I was so angry at how one-sided she was, I wanted to change sides.
That's interesting. Something to keep in mind. I don't think you can have a single character that is on both sides of the issue, but I think that that's an important point that you raise, is that maybe in fiction, that's something that we should all take into consideration, is like, you know, there's always another side to the story.
And I would always also say pick your genre. I love The West Wing because I know going in.
You know going in it's going to be, yeah. Like, know your time and know your place for bringing politics into the game.
Yeah, I don't want it in my rom-coms.
Yeah,
no way.
Fair point. Fair point.
Unless it's like the movie The American President, where you're warned from the title that that was a great
rom-com. Or First Daughter. That was a fun one. That was a cute little...
Oh, yeah.
That was cool. Far less political, but just a cute one. I think, yeah. Wasn't that Mandy Moore?
No, it was Young Katie Holmes.
Young Katie Holmes. That's what it is. I'm like, not quite right. But yes, oh my gosh, that was really cute. I loved that movie.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, you've heard all our thoughts on the matter, so we will see you all next time.
And
thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to us today. Bye, guys.
See you later.
Hey, guys. If you want to continue the conversation, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/storynerds and on Twitter at storynerds_chat.
Or you can find us individually. I am on Instagram and Facebook at Jessica Kate Writing and on Twitter at JessicaKate05.
And I am on Instagram and Facebook at Hannah Davis Author and on Twitter at Hannah D Author. Join us next time to tune in and nerd out.
Bye.
Bye.